We praise you for this morning and this opportunity. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. I just want to give an opportunity to a friend of mine. She also received a word in the week, and it's actually very applicable to my sermon tonight, but she's not going to be here, so I just wanted to share quickly.
Good morning. I had a picture of a lion when I was praying earlier this week, or last week, even the week before. And it's so applicable because of the Lion of Judah being here. I thought the word was for awaken, but I realized as we were singing that it's actually for now. And I was reading, I think it's in Peter, where they describe the devil as a lion that is walking about. It's a roaring lion walking about trying to devour its enemy. And I just realized that a roaring lion is not a stealthy lion. It's not crawling and like attacking you from out of the bushes. A roaring lion is out there, and it's like very loud. It's very obvious. And it shows its teeth. It tries to mark its territory. And I just felt God saying, the devil actually tries to intimidate. And I just felt the spirit of intimidation. We need to break over our lives to be able to go ahead and take that key that we were talking about just now. So sometimes we get the key, but intimidation holds us back, and we can't use it. Yeah, so can we quickly pray for that? Okay. Yeah, Jesus, thank you for this word. Thank you, Jesus, that you just shine the light upon the devil, Lord God, and that you just show us how to pray and how to see his plans. Thank you, Jesus, for just breaking intimidation, Lord God. And Father, I just pray that for tonight, that you will release hearts and that you will truly break intimidation of each and every one. Amen.
Thanks, Leanne. You can just stay here. This is one of my best friends from East London. And let me tell you, I know from experience being a pastor's wife that we need people around us. And I just want to honor see you and Lynette, and also Yaku and Carmen. I don't know where you are, but I know how lonely it can become to be in this position. And I just want to honor this beautiful girl. She decided to join me this morning. She could have listened to all the fancy people in all the celebrities in Stellenbosch. But she said she's joining me this morning. And I love you, Leanne, and I appreciate you. Amen. It's such an honor for me to be here. I can't actually believe I'm here, but praise God for the opportunity. I studied accounting way back. It feels like light years ago. I was a first-year student in 1995, so I know you're going to now work out how old I am, but it's okay. I studied accounting. I passed everything by the grace of God. I started my articles at an auditing firm in Stellenbosch and ended up working for PricewaterhouseCoopers for 10 years in Stellenbosch. And it's always been my dream to work with my husband. I had this thing in me. I know it's not for everybody, so relax if it's not for you. But I had this thing that I want to work with my husband. And I didn't really matter what we were going to do. I mean, I was willing to eat the till at the cafe, you know, if we're going to open something at the corner. But somehow we always had this thing that we want to do church together. And Andre, my husband, for those of you who maybe know him, he studied engineering. You know, I liked engineers. I didn't like all the accountants in my class, but I thought engineers were cool, okay? And he's an engineer. But he never actually worked as an engineer. It's a long story on its own, but he joined the Stellenbosch office years ago just to help out for 6 months. And that 6 months became his life. He's like a fish in the water. He loves church. It's his hobby. It's his hobby, doing church and being a pastor. And church has always been part of my life, always. Even though I worked at PwC, my church was evenings and weekends, and I loved it. And about 4 years ago, we were asked if we would be willing to pastor the church in East London. You know, and I could see all my colleagues at work and even the clients I were at, they looked at me, you know, shame, is London. They honestly and sincerely felt sorry for me. So I thought, oh my word, where am I going to? I didn't really know where East London was. Andre was familiar with it. I've never been to East London before at that stage in my life. I had to go and look on the map, where is East London? But I must be honest with you, I feel like a plant in its natural habitat in East London. God sent us there. It was one of those moves that I know was God ordained. And I got a transfer to the PwC office in East London. Well, I was 8 months pregnant. That was the other thing. I moved with a big tummy to East London. I drove with a big tummy. I felt very sorry for myself. But then God said to me, at least you're not like Mary, who must ride on a donkey to East London, you know. So it made me immediately, you know, get over myself. I said, at least I can drive in a car. I mean, imagine Mary on a donkey. I don't really want to imagine, but in any case. So my boy was born there 3 weeks after we arrived. We started the church. Well, it was an established group, but they didn't have a full-time pastor. I was on maternity leave, and then I worked for another 5 months at PwC in East London. And then I resigned and joined my husband. You know, we always dreamed about this. And I know working with your husband is not necessarily everybody's first choice, but for us, it is really amazing. I mean, we have our things we need to sort out. You know, I had to get used to him as my boss now. But it's a dream for us coming true. And I know sometimes ministry can be hard. Sometimes people, as I said, it could be a lonely place. But God has, in the 4 years that we are there, has raised up so many people around us. So many leaders that we do not only call leaders, but we call them our friends. And it's not many people in the ministry who have that. So I just really want to give all glory to God for what we have in East London. And yeah, I just want to say I love your, I know it's a school hall, but I love the decor. It is amazing. I love the flowers. So this is so pretty. So I know many, many hours are going into a Sunday service. I know that. So I just really want to commend everybody who is involved in the church. And I want to encourage you to not only plant yourself, but to get involved. To get involved. That changed my life, even as a full-time working person. Before I was in full-time ministry, when I worked at PwC, church made my life meaningful. And what I learned at church gave me boldness at work. Actually, this was not the other way around. So, I mean, there's so many things I want to tell you, but let's stick to that before I start with my sermon. But church for me is very close to my heart. And it is what we make of it. You know, we sometimes have so many expectations about the pastor and your small group facilitator and people. You know, we want to receive instead of just being a blessing and giving what you have to give. And I want to encourage you, this is when church becomes a blessing. When you start giving, when you get involved, when you phone CU or Lynette and say, how are you doing? You know, not waiting for CU to ask you if he can pray for you. Phoning him, saying, can I pray for you? Is there anything I can do for you? So I really want to encourage you. It changes a pastor's world. You know, if people come with that attitude. But in any case, that was my introduction. But what I actually want to speak about this morning, I didn't know that E.T. Brits was going to be there last night because it wasn't part of the original program. But it was so God-ordained that she must have been there. How many of you heard her testimony? Okay, quite a few. It's so interesting because I read her book in December. It's an Afrikaans book, but I don't think it's available yet in English, but it's called Fearless Free, and it's all about her testimony, all about what she's been through and what God did in her life. So I could hear it live last night, and I just realized, I want that. I want that. It doesn't really make sense with our minds and our logic, but I want that. And I'm actually going to share a little bit of her testimony, as I say, not knowing she was going to be there last night, but I'm going to use some things that God did in her life and just also share from my own life what God did. So I call my sermon Beautiful Ashes, which, you know, God, the amazing thing what happened to her is God made her feel like a bride on a night that she should have felt dirty and ugly. In February 2010, Hetty and her husband Louis were robbed by four guys in a house in Pretoria. And one of the guys raped her that night. That's a long story in a nutshell. But something that should have left her angry and bitter and full of hate, full of fear, had the opposite effect. God did the unthinkable that evening. He made her feel like a bride. And for those of you married, even for those of you not married, I mean, we dream as girls, we dream about our wedding day and our white dress and the flowers and the everything. To feel like a bride on the night that something happens to you that should steal all your peace, all your purity, is a miracle. It's remarkable. It's something that we can't figure out with our minds, but that is what God did. And He empowered her to choose love instead of fear that night. He gave her such an amazing love inside of her, even for the guy who raped her. And I know it doesn't make sense. I know everything in us wants to scream and say, it can't be. It's just wrong. But this is the God that we serve, you know. And if we look at John 16, verse 33, there's a scripture that says, in this world, you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. In this world, you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. That tribulation, if you go back to the root word, it means pressure, oppression, stress, anguish, adversity, affliction, crushing, squashing, squeezing, distress. Any challenge or something that you can think of that is hard, that is tribulation. And Jesus said, I did not come that you would not have tribulation, but I have come to overcome the world. And in that situation, like Hetty Britt's experienced, give you peace, make you feel like a bride. And this is the God that we serve, you know. And I want to just this morning give you a few tools of how to deal with difficult situations, dark situations, where you actually don't know what to do anymore about the trauma and the heartache and the pain and that thing that happened. Even maybe 10 years ago, that you're battling to deal with. So for all of us, it could be different. You know, maybe you went through a divorce. Maybe your parents went through a divorce. Maybe your mom or your dad died when you were young. Maybe you were the firstborn son, and you had to now all of a sudden become a man in a week because your dad died. Maybe you've been abused in verbally, sexually, emotionally. I do not know. I do not know. Maybe you just broke up with somebody. You know, I recently spoke to a girl. She was engaged. And then 3 weeks before her wedding day, her fiancé dropped her. I mean, that's something we need to deal with if something like that happens. But if I listen to Hetty Britt's testimony, I just realize that if God can do something like that, we do not have to struggle for 10 years to deal with something hard in our lives. We do not have to. Sometimes we accept the fact that we have to now go through the one counseling session after the other, or deliverance. And in her case, God did it on that night. On that night. And if He can do it for her, He can do it for us. Amen. So Jesus did not promise us a world without tribulation, but he did promise us a world that he has overcome. And I want to take you to a scripture in Psalm 91, verse 1 and 2. You know that famous psalm that we all quote for our protection? Verse 1 says, "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In him I will trust." So how does this secret place become real in our lives where bad things happen to good people? Have you ever thought about that? You know, it's as if Psalm 91 only works if something bad hasn't yet happened. You know, have you ever thought about Psalm 91 and God's protection? But then why? Why does something happen like it happened to Eddie Pretz? How can we in our theology explain that? You know, if we have Psalm 91 that says God will protect us. Now, I'm going to try my best this morning to explain it to you, because I will never be the same again after I heard a testimony and after I've read a book. I will never look at trauma or hardship ever the same again. I can't. Because I know that my God is bigger. I know that God has made provision for that. And it's not an abstract thing for me anymore. I can't just look at it and think it's for other people. I say, God, if you can do it for her, you can do it for me. Amen? And he can do it for each of you. So the first way of making the secret place real is we have to believe the truth. We have to believe the truth. Now, I want you to listen carefully now. If you have a feeling in your heart that God was not there when something happened in your life, you have that feeling that he dropped you, or that you were alone, or that God was just a spectator. He didn't help you. He could have, but he didn't help you. If you have a feeling that God was not there, that feeling is a lie. It's a lie. Okay? The power of this lie, so for all of you, if this is applicable to you, I want you to listen carefully now. The power of this lie is that it leaves you with the pain and the insecurity and the fear that God will leave you again. So what happens is fear creeps in, and with that, a lot of lies. So if you have a feeling that God somewhere in your past was not there for you, it leaves you with a fear that he's going to drop you again. Because if he didn't protect you once, why would he protect you the second time? Because he dropped you once. That is a lie. It's a lie. And we need to say to ourselves, you see, because the truth is, God is in you. God is in me. He's in us. He is in us. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. God is in us. You know, Hetty writes in a book. For those of you who hasn't read the book, please get it. It is life-changing. Okay, please get it. Order it on the internet, and it's going to change your life. She writes in a book, if she looks away long enough that night from the robbers and the guns, if she looks away long enough from that, she sees God. He was there all the time. And she gives a lot of reasons. Her children didn't wake up. They were not killed. They should have been killed. There were so many things. And she said God was there all the time, but she had to look away from what happened to see that. If we look at what happened, if we just focus on that, we will not see God. We need to look away from that. And then he will show us where he was, that he was there all the time. It is only lies that can take us captive. Psalm 91 verse 4 says, his truth shall be our shield and buckler. A buckler is a small shield, apparently. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. In other words, it's not your alarm or your security gate or your burglar bars. That is not our shield. That is not our protection. God's truth is. God's truth is. She said last night, it was so powerful. She said the devil wanted just think, we should have put in burglar bars. We should have had an alarm system. And then she realized that he wants her to blame her husband. The devil wants her to now blame her husband and hate him for what has happened to her because there was no burglar bars. And God said to her, I am your castle. I am your shield. I am your protection. We cannot, in this world that we live in, think that if we do not orbit, if we do not everything to the, you know, to the last step of anointing the house and the windows and everything, that God cannot protect us. Oh, God is bigger than our good works. And yes, if God leads you to anoint the house, by all means, go for it. But my God, the God that we serve, cannot be powerless if we forgot to anoint one window. I mean, it doesn't make sense. God is in us. He is in us. He's with us all the time. The true you and me are hidden in God. It's like she shared last night. God said to her, the devil can harm your body, but he cannot harm your soul and he cannot harm your spirit. Because that is hidden in me. Isn't that amazing? God showed me a vision in 2011. It's a while ago. I had a dream. I had a dream first where I was attacked by two guys with guns and I was running. And the next moment in my dream, there was a bulletproof safe just closing around me. And all of a sudden, I was invisible. They couldn't see me. They were looking for me. They couldn't see me. And the next moment, that safe changed into my boy's playroom, his room. And we were sitting on the carpet playing with his toys. And I could literally hear outside how they are looking for me. But Vian, that's my boy's name, Vian and I were playing in his room. And God said to me, that is the secret place. It is a place in God where even if there are danger, that you can actually play with your child and enjoy life because God will take care of the danger somehow. And even if you get harm in the midst of it, He will take care of that harm. He will take care of whatever happened and He will turn it around for His glory and for your good. Isn't that good news? You know, just to break this power of fear and to know that God can turn ashes. He can turn something dreadful into something beautiful. You know, I really believe what happened to Hetty was she's a prophetic voice now in South Africa specifically to proclaim God's goodness regardless of something bad that happened. I really believe God is using her. He's turning something bad into something so glorious that it's changing my life forever. She's changing millions of people's lives by one bad thing, you know. God is taking revenge, almost, you know, by using something bad that the devil intended for her harm. He's turning it around for her good, and he's turning it around for his glory, and he's turning it around for the good of many, many, many women especially. To set us free from fear, especially in South Africa and in this country that we live in. God is using this as something the devil intended for our harm. God is now using for the benefit of millions of women. This is so powerful. In later in 2011, God showed me again this safe, this bulletproof safe. Clothing around me. This time it was just a picture I saw when we were worshiping. But this time the safe didn't turn into Vian's playroom. It turned into a park, a play park, full of dangerous animals like tigers and lions and things. And Vian were touching them. And I was a little bit, oh my word, all these wild animals just walking around here and, you know, I thought this is a little bit, I mean, I'm here with my boy. I don't think we should be here. There are always huge swings, you know, like swings, for example, that'll swing through this whole place, like huge things. And Vian, specifically, I remember he was swinging on one of those swings. And he's not like in a safety jacket or nothing. He's just swinging. And I thought to myself, why am I not scared? Because it feels as if we are at the wrong place at the wrong time. At that stage, he was about 2 years old. And God said to me, even in a world that looks unsafe, even in a world that looks dangerous, in me, you are safe. And I know God gave me that pictures, because I had lots of fears around my boy, a lot. I'll share a bit maybe about it tonight, but I went through a very bad patch after he was born. I was about 3 years, I battled with insomnia, bad insomnia, where I would lie awake until about 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the morning while he was fast asleep. I mean, a mom's worst nightmare. Your child sleeps and you can't sleep. Crazy. But I really battled to snap out of it. I'll share more about it tonight. But I battled with a lot of fears after Vian was born. The responsibility, so many things. And one big thing, and I've never shared this in public, but I felt God wanted me to share it this morning. One big lie that I received was not about Vian's safety, his physical safety. It was about his sexuality. I had this fear that somehow he will be harmed in the area of his sexual identity, and that terrified me. I thought I was not going to survive it. I thought nothing will ever be the same, because the reason for that is we've prayed for people who battle with their sexuality, especially for guys, and it's as if I don't see freedom. Okay, so now what happens? The devil tells me that is, God is not powerful enough to change that. Okay? Do you follow me? The devil convinced me that God can sort out everything. I even believed, you know, the story about Hetty and her rape. And I believed that God can do anything. But I believed that if my boy is harmed in the area of his sexuality, that it's never going to sort out. He's going to have problems and issues for the rest of his life. So it was this big fear in me. And God said to me, Sonika, that's a lie. When I read Hetty's book, God said to me, that is a lie. And the moment I saw it, I thought, that's a lie. My God is bigger than that as well. I was set free. It was the most amazing feeling. It wasn't any angel appearing to me, nothing. I just recognized a lie in my head that I was convinced that God is not powerful enough to do something about. And God said to me, Sonika, even if something happens, you see, and this is how we deal with our fears, even if something happens, God is bigger. Amen? Even if something happens, because we always just want to quote Psalm 91, nothing is ever going to happen to me. 1,000 is going to fall at my left, 10,000 at my right hand, but it's not going to come to me. And now something comes to me, and now my life falls apart. Now I don't believe in God anymore because he dropped me. You see, Psalm 91 is not about nothing bad is ever going to happen to you. It's about whatever happens to you, whatever situation you're in, God is bigger, and he will turn it around. Amen? It changed my life. I cannot explain it to you. I think I started to understand Psalm 91 for the first time in my life, because I was confused. I was confused looking at all those promises and still see people going through hard things, or their children, or their parents. And I just realized that our God is bigger. Jesus died at the cross. He took everything upon himself. He made provision for whatever we need to go through. We need to choose love over fear. She also shared that night that when she was lying there, that scripture, 2 Timothy 1:7, appeared in front of her with fear on her left and power, love, and a sound mind on her right. And God said to her, you have to choose. And she said, God, I choose love. And sometimes, you know, I've been thinking about this. How do you do that? How do you do that? And I think sometimes we are confronted with our own weaknesses, we think Hetty must be perfect. To be able to do that, I would never be able to do that. That's what goes through most of our heads. I can't do that. I'm not that perfect. How can I choose to love a rapist? I mean, it doesn't make sense. Then God showed me the most amazing thing in the scripture. He said to me, He doesn't give us a spirit of fear, but He gives us the power to choose love. Amen? He doesn't expect us now to kind of manufacture love from our inside that we don't have. He gives us the power to choose love, which will lead to a sound mind. He gives us the power. She didn't choose that night in her own strength to love and not to fear. She was empowered by God. And if God can do it for her, He can do it for me. He can do it for you. God did something supernatural. It's not in ourselves to do this. So take all the pressure off you. Jesus Christ has made provision for us. We are weak. We are frail. But in God, we can make these supernatural decisions that doesn't make sense to anybody, because He empowers us to love. Amen? Isn't that good news? We have to trust Him with our lives. We have to trust Him with our lives. Romans 8, verse 38 and 39 in the Amplified. For I am persuaded, maybe we can read this together. Will you do that with me? For I am persuaded beyond doubt, I'm sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things impending and threatening, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. I want to ask you now to think about your worst nightmare, your worst fear. You know, like I was confronted with my boy, if some crazy person messes with him. I was confronted with that. I want you to think about your worst fear now. If there's nothing like that, praise God. Think about anything is really your worst fear. And say to yourself, even if that happened, God is bigger and more powerful to fix it. And not only to fix it, but to make it work together for your good. For your good. We have a girl in our church. Beautiful young lady. She's married to also a great guy. She was sexually abused by her grandfather from the age of 6 to the age of 16. And I wish she could have told the story this morning, but she's not here, so I have to just give it in a nutshell. She wanted to commit suicide when she was at high school. She's a pretty girl. She wanted to commit suicide. She didn't want to live anymore. She felt guilty. She felt ugly. She felt nobody will ever marry her. And her dream was to get married, obviously, like all of our girls want to get married. And God changed it for her. She thought she would need to, little by little, just get free and take this to the Lord. And then the next thing, and it's going to take years. And then God said to her, I just want you to come on a holiday with me. Look away from that. It's like I said in the beginning, if we look away from what happened and we fix our eyes on Jesus, He can do it quickly. He can honestly, truly, because I've heard so many stories. She said God took her on a holiday where she focused, she looked away. She almost forgot kind of what happened. She said, Jesus, it's me and you. I'm going to focus on you. She said God did such restoration in her that she can look at a picture of her grandfather and respect Him. I mean, it's like what happened to Hetty. She also says, and she testified about this in our church, that if she has a choice now, she would choose that chapter in her life again. Because it changed her for the good. I mean, it doesn't make sense, but that is the truth. It's from her own testimony. It's from her own heart. She says she would have not been in the relationship with God that she is now. She would have been very... She sees herself as somebody who would have really been a compromising kind of person, one foot in the world, one foot with God, if that didn't happen. But that put her on a solid rock with Jesus. And I mean, if she says if she compares now, her life now, what God did in her, compared to, it never happened, but there's no connection between her and God. She will choose that 10 years all over again. That horrible event all over. This is the God that we serve. That He can take something that's really bad, that should not have happened. But he can say, I am powerful and strong enough and I love you so much that I will make you look back and choose that chapter in your life because it will work out for your good. I mean, this is powerful. It's powerful and we have to believe it. You know, some people ask, I'm almost finished. Some people ask, what kind of a God will do this to His children? How many of you have heard that question before? And it's so difficult to answer that. Hey, it's really difficult. But I just want to ask a few other questions this morning. I'm not going to try and answer that. I'm just going to ask a few other questions. What kind of God will make a woman feel like a bride on the night that she's raped? Because I want to know Him. What kind of God can do that? I've never heard about anyone except our God. What kind of God can put forgiveness in the heart of a husband, true forgiveness, in the heart of a husband whose wife has been violated? True forgiveness. What kind of God can make even rape work together for good? I want to know Him because it gives me so much peace that whatever I must go through in my life, whatever, God is going to be there for me. It takes all the fear away. All the fear away. Because God is truly bigger than whatever can ever happen to us. I mean, this is so awesome. And I really feel God wants to comfort you this morning. In Matthew 5 verse 4, it says, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Psalm 23 verse 4 says, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. God is with you all the time. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. God is a master. He's got a master degree, a doctor's degree. In comforting, He can comfort you. He wants to comfort you. Listen to this. 2 Corinthians 1. Verse 3 and 4. This is my last scripture. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with a comfort which we ourselves are comforted by God. Isn't this beautiful? I want to read it again. You can just put it up again. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in our tribulation. Remember, tribulation is all those things, you know, everything that you can think of that's hard. Who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble. In any trouble. With the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. And I truly believe this is what God is using Hetty for at this moment. God comforted her. He didn't only comfort her, He empowered her to comfort us, to empower us, to speak life where there should be death. But this is what God wants to do. He wants to turn something that was so hard for you into something so beautiful that you can comfort others. That you can say, if God can heal me, if He can truly, truly heal me, He can do the same for you. And this is what I really feel God wants to do this morning. You know, if you cannot go back to a time in your life without anger, bitterness, hatred, fear, resentment, if you cannot go back to a dark and a difficult time in your life without those kind of emotions, you're not completely healed. And that is, in a sense, good news, to see it, to see it for what it is, because that means God wants to do a complete work. He wants to do a complete work, and He will do a complete work in your life. Do not believe the lie that you have to struggle for 10 years if you've been through something hard. Do not believe that lie, because God can do it this morning. He can. I mean, last night, I believe so many women have been set free because of the truth that was spoken, because of life that was spoken instead of death. And, you know, God comforts us by rewriting our stories. Maybe you think, I don't know, Sonika. You don't know what happened in my life. But you know what? God can literally go and rewrite your story. The facts, I know the facts are all there. We're not in denial. We're not saying it didn't happen. We're not saying just get over it. This is not what I'm saying. I'm saying if something happened to you 3 months ago, 5 years ago, 15 years ago, God can go back in time and rewrite that part of your life. He can replace the lies with the truth. He can put forgiveness in your heart with his bitterness. He can help you to choose love over fear. He can empower you to go back to that situation and say, Lord, I choose love. Empower me not to fear, but to choose love. He can replace pain with hope and trust in Him. I mean, this is so powerful. And I really believe God is going to do it for some of you this morning. Amen. Something that maybe people even prayed for you, and you've done the foundations in the church, and you feel, but there must be something wrong with me, because I'm not free. I'm still scared. I'm still bitter. I have still unforgiveness in my heart. There was one guy in our church. His brother died at a young age, and they were very close. And he said to me, he came to me and he said to me, Sonika, he didn't come to me. Somebody told me that he spoke to them in the small group, saying that he could go back to that story in his life, to that situation. We blamed God. He said, God, can't be. He's known God now for a while. It's still like this stone in him of bitterness and anger. And God, how could you have allowed that to happen? He said he could go to God and say, Lord, rewrite my story. And he says for the first time, he just feels free from what happened. God can do it for you. So I just want to play you a song. I'm done. I just want to play you a song. You can just sit as you are. Song's name is called Beautiful Things. The words will be on the screen. And after the song, I really want to invite you, if the band can also come up just after the song, or maybe you can come up while the song is playing. Please, if the band can just come up. And then I just want, if you want to receive ministry in any area of your life that's been hard, I want to invite you. I would love to pray with you. There would be people in front that can pray with you. And maybe you feel, no, I'm a cell leader. I can't go forward. I must pray for other people. You know what? I feel in my heart this morning, forget about your position. Maybe you feel, no, I know God for 30 years. People are going to look funny at me now. Just forget about your position. I really feel so strongly that today is the day of salvation. Today is the day of deliverance. Today is the day of healing. And if you walk with something in your heart that's been there for years, something really hard. And you're just hiding it because of your position, because you have to cope, and you have to pray for other people. Please forget about your position this morning. I just want to invite you to come. Amen. Let's just listen to this song.
I wonder if I'll ever find my way. going to try to do this in English, but yeah. I just want to share with you. My mum died when I was 9. And I just realized over this weekend, the Lord was so good because my dad taught us to look away from the situation that we were in and to go on with our lives. And many times people asked me when they heard my mom died, they said they were so sorry for me. And I always thought, but why? I'm okay. And over this weekend, I just realized, but it's the work that the Lord has done in me. And I just want to honor Him and say thank you. And many times people always, from when I was little, told me they see this mother heart in me. And I thought, but how's that possible? I don't have a mom to teach me how to be a mother. And I'm privileged to have this beautiful boy now. And to be a mom to him. And, sorry. I just now know that it's the Lord that taught me that. And I'm so grateful. And it's so amazing to me. Today on Mother's Day that I can just say, thank you, Lord, that you also a mother to me and taught me to be a mother.
Thank you so much for sharing. Maybe I can just ask if there's any one of you who would like to just come forward for prayer. As the band will just keep playing, don't be scared. I know altar calls are sometimes scary. Now you need to walk to the front. But I just want to encourage you, if God has spoken to you this morning, please come. Just get up from where you are. I would love to pray. I know I must pray for people here this morning. And there will be other people as well who can pray for you. So will you be so bold? I know there are people out there we must pray for. So come. Come. I'm waiting for you.
My friend is a pastor at Friends Church. His name is Bruce Jackman. And his daughter, 18 years old, she was at YWAM. And he said there was a ritual killing for these two boys to become part of a gang in Muizenberg. And they came with a knife and her boyfriend tried to protect her and he stabbed her through the arm. And he fell down, they hit him down, and this man stepped over him, and he stabbed his daughter in the throat here. And then, in 24 minutes, they took her to the hospital. And then he said, he rushed to the hospital as soon as they could get there. And when he came there, she said to him, Dad, I have forgiven them. And he was just so thrown by what she had said. And then 12 days later, she said that something is wrong. And they took her to the hospital and they had to operate immediately. And then the anesthetist, when he came out, he said, your daughter's a miracle. And he still joked. He said, no, I know. I said, no, you don't understand. There are two veins that goes down the artery and then another one that comes back. And the knife went in between both and she was cut. Both veins were cut open. And he said, God has supernaturally sustained his daughter by just holding his hand there for 12 days. He didn't die. He said he's never seen it in any medical book. He's never heard anything like this. And he just said he believed it was because his daughter chose to forgive in the beginning. And I realized how much rejection hurts us because we get rejected by people like the grandfather or maybe your father didn't pick you up or people walked away from you or your best friend ignored you or you had a fight or whatever the case might be and we suffer rejection and there's a wound in our hearts. And when God comes with His Spirit and He blows into us, His Ruach anointing power, we get blown up. But that wound is there and we just deflate. And I just believe that this word that Sonika is bringing is that God wants to come and He doesn't want to put a patch there. He wants to heal the wound once and for all. That He can come when He blows His Spirit in you, that you can be filled with the Spirit of God, that we can be sons of God and led by the Spirit of God, that we are not children who are rejected, but we are children that's loved by God, that we know who we are in Christ. We are sons of God because of who we are, not the stuff that we do for Him, that we're not important because we do things. We are important because we are His children. And I just believe is that anyone here that still feels, oh, no, I don't want to come forward, I also just want to extend that invitation to come. Maybe there's stuff that has happened with you. When you close your eyes or you see that person, you go, then you must come forward. You must come and ask God to come and heal your heart.